Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the second book of Samuel as we continue to go through this book, chapter 15. Second book of Samuel, chapter 15, our favorite book. Whatever book we're in, it's our favorite. On Sundays, it's John. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. Second book of Samuel. Oh, is that right? Yeah. You thought of us. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead. Let's open in prayer. And we'll go through the Word of God. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name on this afternoon to go through your Word, we ask you, Lord, that you'd lead us and guide us and that you'd speak to us through your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week, we left off with David's son Absalom returning to Jerusalem and meeting back up with David, his father, after being on the run for 3 years, right? Remember, we read that last week. And now Absalom, King David's son, secretly stages a coup in this chapter and the next couple of chapters. For 4 years, he wins the public's favor with his kindness, and he's been flattering the people. He wants to be the king. He wants to overthrow his father. Okay, so this is what we're going to be reading about. Absalom declares himself king in Hebron. Okay, forcing a heartbroken David to flee Jerusalem barefoot. And David sends his loyal friends, Hushai, back to Jerusalem, as we're going to find out, as a spy to block Absalom's advisors. Just a couple of characters that we're going to be reading about in this chapter. Obviously, David, Absalom, his son. We're going to also hear about this man called Ahithophel. He is one of David's counselors. Okay? Ahithophel. Right? And then another man by the name of Hushai. He's a friend of David's. Right? Who he sends to Absalom to find out what's going on. Plus, we're going to read about two priests, Zadok and Abiathar. They're priests. They're allies of David. We're going to read about them. They carried the Ark of the Covenant. So let's go ahead. Let's go through the Word of God. Let's look at chapter 15. Absalom's treason. Verse 1 says, after this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such, a tribe of Israel. Verse 3 says, then Absalom would say to him, look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land. See where he's going, right? And everyone who has a suit or cause would come to me, that I would give him justice. See where he's going, right? Verse 5 says, and so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Let's stop here for a minute. So public hearings were always conducted early in the morning. On the court, they were held on the outside of the gate. So this is where Absalom went and set up shop, right outside the gate. He positioned himself there to win the favor over the people. You see what he's trying to do, right? He's trying to win the people over so they can overthrow David, his father. That's exactly what this fellow was up to. Because King David was busy with other matters or dealing with wars. And David was also aging at this time, right? that many matters were left unresolved. So the people started to resent him for it. This is why Adam said, well, hey, if I was in charge, I'd take care of this. I'd get you justice. This is how he's playing on the people's hearts. And so Absalom, he took this opportunity to undermine his father. And he kept showing kindness to the people, trying to butter them up like a politician. Right? Vote for me. Right? This is what he's doing. But he's doing it against his own father. Now, we have seen, since going through this book, since David's fall, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, right, and had her husband kill Uriah, we have been seeing that ever since this, as we read, God said, I will forgive you, but there's going to be consequences for your sin. And his family was going to have all the consequences, and we've been seeing that, right? We saw one of his sons, right, Amnon, raped his daughter, Tamar, which was his half-brother, and then Absalom went and killed Amnon. So it's been really bad. The family, since David did that act with Bathsheba, the family has gotten very dysfunctional, as we've been reading, and it's going to continue. Again, that's the consequences of sin. Like I've said before, sin in the family affects the whole family, everybody, and this is what's happening. So Absalom, he won the hearts of the people without them knowing of his wicked ambition. They don't know this. They just say, oh, this is Absalom. Oh, maybe he's going to take over. He seems like the guy. This is what's going on, right? It says, whenever someone approached him, right, to honor him as a prince, being a son of a king, Absalom would kiss them, right? It says, Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. So it's kind of unfolding here. So let's go ahead. Let's pick back up in verse 7. It says in verse 7, now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go to Hebron. So he's asking his father, right? And pay a vow which I made to the Lord. Right? Let's stop here for 1 second. When you read that, it says after 40 years. It had been 4 years. This is 40 years since most likely David has been the king, okay? So just because that can be a little confusing there, it's been 4 years have passed, not 40 years, but 4 years, but it was around his 40-year run, right? If you have like the New Living Translation or the ESV or even the NIV, it'll say 4 years. But the King James, the New King James, says 40 years because it's around the 40-year mark of King David, but it was really just 4 years later. Okay? And verse 8 says, for your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Gershur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, when you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. So they don't know. They're just going along with it. Right? Verse 12 says, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, from Gilo, where he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy grew strong, for the people with Absalom continually increased in number. So let's stop here for a minute. So Absalom declares himself king in Hebron, as we just read, after 4 years. Right? So Absalom, as we can see, he lied to his father. Right? He said, oh, I got to go serve over there. Can you send me over there? I prayed the Lord I was going to go serve him over there. He asked David's permission to go. But what he wanted to do was go and gather up people to throw a coup against his father. Right? So he lied to him. He told him he was going to go pay a vow to the Lord in Hebron. And Absalom sent secret messengers throughout all Israel, telling Israel, the people, to declare him as king. Right? As we just read, they said, hey, when the trumpet goes, everybody yell, Absalom. The king of Hebron. Yeah, this guy is something, huh? So Absalom recruited Ahithophel, one of David's counselors, to join his side. Okay? And before long, other men started to join Absalom as well. So he's building this group to overthrow David. He's forming this conspiracy, right? Which included taking some of the leadership, right, men to create the impression also that as him taking the leadership from David, the people are beginning to think that it's David's part of this. This is good. His leaders are going. He must be the next one up, next man up. And David was getting old, and they figured he must be sharing in the kingdom, his son. He's prepping him, right? We would probably think the same thing if we were there. He's grooming him to be the next one, right? All of this was a disguise, though, so Absalom could have freedom to plan his revolution. Right, Absalom was able to do this against his father, listen, because of his cleverness, for one, and because David now is getting very relaxed, right? Remember we read a few chapters ago when the men went out in spring, what did David do? He stayed home. That's what started all that with Bathsheba. He had so much time on his hands. He's sitting idle for so long. It said, we read that in the spring, the kings in the army would go. David is the king, never went. He stayed. He had so much time on his hands. And a lot of times when people have a lot of time on their hands, can get into trouble. And that's what he did. That's when he's sitting around, saw Bathsheba, and then it all unraveled from there. So he's getting very relaxed, and all this is going on behind his back. This man here, Ahithophel, he was, like I said, a counselor of David's, whose advice was so accurate, by the way. They thought that it was actually God. He had the oracles of God, that God was actually putting the words in this man's mouth because he was so accurate, like a prophet, right? When a prophet goes and he prophesies and it comes true. This man, Ahithophel, he was a counselor of David, but he was like he had the oracles of God too. When he spoke, it happened. Things were happening. So they really looked up to this guy quite a bit. He also, this guy, Ahithophel, his father is Eliam, okay? The grandfather of Bathsheba, okay? Why is that interesting? Because he may have been looking to get revenge, right? He might be going after David for revenge because of what he did to Bathsheba, okay? So his father was Eliam, the grandfather of Bathsheba. So he's family with those people, with Bathsheba, and who's with David. But he may have remembered all that happened, and David had him, Uriah, killed. So maybe he was willing to join them because of that, do a little revenge. Who knows? But let's pick back up in verse 13. Let's see what happens. It says in verse 13, now a messenger came to David, saying, the hearts of men, the men of Israel are all, not all, are with Absalom. So David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, arise, let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, hurry up, lest he overtakes us suddenly and brings disaster upon us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Verse 15 says, and the king's servant said to the king, we are your servants, ready to do whatever my lord, the king, commands. Then the king went out with all his household after him, but the king left 10 women, concubines, to keep the house. Verse 17 says, and the king went out with all the people after him, and stopped at the outskirts. So let's take a break. Let's stop here for a minute. Let's talk about this. So David escapes from Absalom because he wanted to preserve the city of Jerusalem. You see what he said? He said, let's go before they take the city with a sword, right? He didn't want to do that. He felt that he could find greater support also in the country, and he did not want Jerusalem to fall. The city that he loved and he had built, and it was called the City of David, and he did not want to have a war there, so he fled. He's going to try to get some people together, and he'd rather fight outside of the city. Okay? He actually wrote about this in Psalm 3. If you want to hold your spot, go to Psalm chapter 3. It's a short psalm. Hold your spot and go to Psalm 3. He wrote this when he was on the run from his son Absalom. A small psalm, 8 verses. You see right there, it says at the top of the psalm, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son, right? I'll go ahead, we'll read it through. Verse 1 said, David said, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many, he said, are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say to me, there is no help for him and God. But you, as he's praying, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 6 says, I will not be afraid of 10,000 people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Amen. See that? He wrote that down. This is what we're reading about. In Samuel 15, that's the psalm he wrote when he was on the run from Absalom, right? David cried out to the Lord for help, right? And the Lord, as it says, helps his people that are troubled. God does that for you and for me. When we, right, things come and we go, and the Lord wants to help us during these times. But I want you to notice something. As we've been going through this book, do you see the same thing I see? That whenever things are not, whenever David is not in fellowship with the Lord, things are not good. I mean, once he starts to get complacent, he starts to backslide a little bit, things don't go well for him. But when he starts to fellowship with the Lord and praying to the Lord always delivers him. Same thing with you and me. Same thing, right? When we start to get complacent, we start to backslide a little, our Bibles get a little dusty, right? It seems like that's when things just don't seem to be going well, right? Not that they're perfect when we're in communication with the Lord, but David always prospered when he was in communication with the Lord. All those battles that David won, God fought the battles for him because he went to God first and said, Lord, what should I do? Should I go up against the Philistines? Yes, he went, conquered. What should I do about these guys? What should I do about these? Should I go? Go. He always, David was so successful in battles because he wouldn't make a move without going to God first. That's like me and you making a decision in our life. Don't make a move until you go to God for counsel. Period. That's what we're learning right through the scripture. We learn this from David. He never made a move. But when he didn't walk with God for a certain time, like with Bathsheba, that whole incident, we didn't read about anything about him in communication with the Lord in those days. He was just sitting back. The Bible says, the scripture says, he was sleeping a day away, and he was getting into trouble, and his fleshly eyes started getting the best of him when he saw Bathsheba bathing on the roof. And it just unraveled from there. So, good lesson for us to learn. Get counsel from God before you make a move. Right? Same thing. So, jump back into Samuel 15, verse 18. We'll pick up here. It says in verse 18 that then all his, David, servants passed before him, and all the Cherethites and the Pethelites and the Gittites, 600 men who had followed him from Gath, passed before the king. Then the king said to Attai, the Gittite, Why are you also going with us? Return and remain with the king. For you are a foreigner and also an exile of your own people. Verse 20 says, in fact, you came only yesterday. Should I make you wander up and down with us today? Since I go, I know not where. Return, take your brethren back. Mercy and truth be with you. But Attaiah answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, as my lord the king lives, surely, in whatever place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also your servant will be. Pretty dedicated man to him, right? Pretty loyal. Verse 22 says, so David said to Ittai, go and cross over. And Ittai, the Gittite, and all his men and the little ones who were with him crossed over. So this man is really loyal to David, right? He says he just joined a day ago, right? Pretty loyal to David. He must have really respected him. Verse 23, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all the people crossed over toward the way of the wilderness. Let's stop here for a minute. So verse 18 says, right? Then all the servants passed before him, all the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the Gittites, all the Ites passed through, right? 600 men who had followed him from Gath passed before the king. Remember David went to Gath to hide? He went to run away before from Saul, King Saul. He went to Gath. He went to live with the Philistines, the enemy. That wasn't God's will for him, but he did it. Well, while he was there, he gathered up some soldiers from there. These people here, the Cherethites, Pelethites, and Gittites, these guys are foreign mercenary soldiers, okay? Probably some pretty tough guys that were in Gath that David said, hey, will be on my side? Got a relationship going with them. These were probably some pretty mighty men. Well, they all thought a lot of David, and they joined him. They said, yeah, they're trying to overthrow you? Yeah, let's do it. We'll join you. We'll join your army. So they did. And this guy here, Attaiah, he was a king or a commander, okay, of the Gittites. But I want to share something else with you in these verses. In verse 23, drop down to verse 23. The brook Kidron, or the Kidron Brook, however you want to say it there, has quite the history behind it. Okay? It runs along the east side of Jerusalem, right, in between the city and Mount of Olives. Okay? This is where Jesus spent a lot of time at this place by the Kidron Brook, or the Brook Kidron, down in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? The Mount of Olives. He spent a lot of time there with his disciples, and he spent a lot of time there praying to the Father, right? The Garden of Gethsemane was one of his favorite places to pray. We see him a lot praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, this brook runs right through there. He crossed this brook a lot to go down through there into the Mount of Olives and to the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, during the Passover, here's the interesting part. Here's the neat part. During the yearly Passover, they would slaughter thousands of lambs, right, during the Passover for sacrifice. And the blood of all those lambs would run all the way down this brook. The brook Kidron would run all the way through in between, okay, where Jesus has the Last Supper at the upper room when he leaves, which we're reading about on Sundays, when he would have left there, the boys would have left there with him and went across this brook into the Mount of Olives, okay, where he would pray to the Father before he was betrayed. And what's very interesting about this is Jesus, on his way to the cross, after leaving the upper room, he would have walked through this brook during Passover. It would have been filled with blood of lambs. Here's the interesting part. He's walking through this brook full of blood of lambs knowing that's why he came, to be our lamb, to shed his blood that would be in the brook. Is that interesting or what? That is amazing that he went through this brook that they used every year for the Passovers, slaughter all these, that all the blood from the lambs would run down the hill, the east side of Jerusalem. And after the Lord had his supper and they prayed to the Father, they walked. He would have walked through this brook filled with lamb's blood, knowing that's what he came for. Amazing, right? The perfect Lamb of God. Matter of fact, hold your spot. Go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18, the Gospel of John. We'll be getting to chapter 18 here pretty soon on Sundays. We're starting 16 Sunday. We're probably still going to be in the Gospel of John until the fall, though. Yeah. I'm telling you, I think by the time we finish the Gospel of John, we had been in it for 2 years. Something, huh? Yeah, 2 years we've been in that. But go to Gospel of John chapter 18, verse 1. Look at this right here. I'm just going to kind of share this passage with you. It's the beginning that I really want you to see. Verse 1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron. Okay, this is right after he had the Lord's Supper. He's on his way to the cross, right, where there was a garden, Garden of Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, because that's where they used to meet up. For Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having, you guys know the rest here, then Judas having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came with their lanterns and their torches and their weapons, right? This is early in the morning, right? The next day on Friday, he's getting ready to go to the cross. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, just stop right there. Jesus, knowing all things that come upon him, this is shortly after he's walking through the brook full of blood. He knew, this is why I came. Went forward and said to them, who are you seeking? Jesus is saying this to the guards. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. Now when Jesus said to them, I am he, right? Another way of he's saying, I'm God, Yahweh, I am he, right? One of God's titles, because he is God. They drew back and fell to the ground. Isn't that interesting? He said, I am he. These guys dropped to the ground. It's the power of a God. Just saying, I am he. They hit the deck, right? Then he asked them again. These guys are so stupid, they asked him again, like they want to hit the ground again. Then he asked them again, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Maybe they hit the deck again. Therefore, if you seek me, let these guys go. The disciples, right? That the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke of those who you gave me, I have lost none. So I have kept those 11 you gave me. You didn't give me Judas because he is of the father, his father's of the devil, right? He betrayed him, right? Jesus said it would have been better had he not been born because of where he was going. Verse 9 says, verse 10 says, Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it back and struck the high priest's servant, cut his right ear off. The servant's name was Malchus. There's a good trivia for you. Remember that one. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword in your sheath. Shall I not drink the cup, the punishment? Whenever you read cup, that's the punishment which my Father has given me. Amen, right? Isn't that interesting? This is the same brook. Now, David took his whole family through, right? Hundreds of years later, Jesus would be going through this same brook, but it'd be filled with blood as a reminder of why he came. I find that really interesting. Yeah. Jesus headed through the brook of Kidron just hours before going to the cross. Yeah. This brook would have been filled with blood. I'm talking thousands of lambs. Thousands and thousands of lambs being sacrificed. Blood, must have been blood pouring down that brook. Jesus walks right through it. Okay. All right, so we'll talk about that when we, one of these Sundays. I'm going to get more into that. Well, let's go back to 2 Samuel 15, verse 24. We'll finish right. I'm going to finish the rest of this. Verse 24 says, there was Zadok also, and all the Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they sent down the Ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the Ark of the Covenant back to the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am. Let him do to me as seems good to him. He says, right? This is days, hey, if the Lord take, you know what, this is you or I, right? We're laying in a hospital on our bed. We don't know what's going to happen. They said it probably may not last a night. Right? Lord, let your will be done. This is how it goes. This is what David's saying. He said, hey, if the Lord brings me back to Jerusalem, great. If not, God will do it as see as fit. You take me right now. Right? He knew where he was going after this. He knew where he was going, right? That's why I told you guys before, being saved takes the fear right out of dying. Right? Don't you feel that way? Because you know where you're going. That's what I tell people. So, oh, I'm going to die. I don't know what I'm going to do. Those are people who have no hope. They don't have Christ. They're so worried about dying. Listen, if you're saved, I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot better up there than down here from what I read in there. I'm going to tell you right now. I've told you guys this before. There's nobody in heaven right now that if God said, I'll give you a 7-day pass, go see your family, they'd say, no, no way. I am not leaving here. Give it to somebody else, Lord. Stay right here till they come. Right? Being saved takes the fear right out of dying. The safest place to be is inside the will of God. What are we going to worry about that for? Paul, he wanted to go home. He said, to be with Christ is better than down here. But if he wants me down here, I'll keep sharing his word. That's how you as a born-again Christian should feel. My time's up, it's up. Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. I see so many people so worried about it, this stuff. Okay, I forgot where I was. What verse was I on? See if you guys are paying attention. How much? Where? Good man. The king. Paying attention, Emmett. Good man. All right, verse 27 says, and the king said to Zadok, the priest, are you not a seer? Like, or a prophet. Seer, prophet. Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz, your son, and Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until the word comes from you to inform me. So I'm going to stay here till I hear from you. It's good to go. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carried the ark back to Jerusalem, and they remained there. Verse 30 says, so David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives, same place Jesus was all the time, and wept as he went up. Probably heartbroken, I'm sure, right? And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as well. They probably could not believe what was happening. Verse 31 says, then someone told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, oh, Lord, I pray, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Right? You see, isn't that something? Here's one of the smartest guys. The people regarded him like a prophet because he had the oracles of God. And David says, Lord, make him a foolish man. Verse 32 says, now it happened when David had come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God. It's back to worshiping God. There was Hushai, the Archite, now the Ite, coming to meet him with his robe torn and dust on his head. David said to him, if you go on with me, then you will become a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, I will be your servant, O king, as I was your father's servant previously, so I will know also be your servant. Now also be your servant. And you may defeat the counsel of Ahithophel for me. And do not have Zadok and Abiathar the priests with you there. He's saying, do you not have the priests with you? Go. Therefore, it will be that whatever you hear from the king's house, you shall tell Zadok and Abiathar the priests. Indeed, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz, Zadok's son, and Jonathan, Abiathar's son. And by them you shall send me everything you hear. So he's sending Hushai, right? Go find out everything and come back to me. Verse 37, the final verse says, so Hushai, David's friend, went into the city. And Absalom came into Jerusalem. So let's just talk about this for a minute. So Abiathar and Zadok, these two priests that we're reading about, right? They intended to take the Ark of God with David. They were on, let's get the Ark of God. Let's take off with David. And David said, no, we're going to turn it around. Bring it right back to the city of Jerusalem. And that's when he said, if God, wants me, if it's his will to go back, I'm going to go back. If it's his will for me to go right here, I'm going to go right here. He was okay with it. Either way, right? It's like you and I should be, right? God says we go there, we'll go there. God says, well, we're not going. Right? But he told him to return it, right? Bring the ark back, right? And so David's company crossed, like I said earlier, over the Kidron Valley, the Kidron Brook. They went right through there. They went up through the Mount of Olives. Right? And it says that he went barefoot and his head was covered. He was probably just so distraught. How can this be going on? I'm not even being overthrown by another king. I'm being trying to be overthrown by my own son. I'm sure he was distraught. But look at what we've been reading. Right? Amnon, his other son, raped his daughter. And Absalom killed him. I mean, this is tragic. Right? And it did say that a lot of people accompanied David. They were loyal to him. And they went with him. And they wept with him. Right? And then David sent his friend Hushai back to Jerusalem to prevent counsel from Ahithophel. Right? So he was tasked with informing Zadok and Abiathar about Absalom's decision. So he's like, hey, I need you to go be a spy for me. Find out what's going on and come back. And to be continued next week. That's the end of chapter 15. Let's go ahead. We'll close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us directly, Lord, how important it is that we stay in fellowship with you and communion with you daily. And that we would not make a move without going to you first, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to us every day as we open up your word, that you continue your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and speak into our hearts the things you want us to know. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.